Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. That's NAASCA. I suggest, if you are familiar with us, or you're coming on because you're invited by someone to the show, go over to NASCA's website, check things out. There's a lot of really informative information there. And you're going to also see, if you need to reach out to someone, there's a multitude of numbers from volunteers that make themselves available to people that may need to have someone to talk to or just talk with. And so we're there for you. Tonight is Wednesday night. Special guest show. And before we do that, I do want to take a quick moment and just go over NASCA's mission statement with everyone. NASCA has a single purpose. It is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do this with two goals in mind. The first being educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. Also, some people know it as CSA. It's presenting the facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. The second goal we have is offering hope through healing. And we do that with numerous paths. By providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And this show and our other shows, Monday through Friday, are part of that process. Go on there. There's also a group that got together and they meet. You can go to a Zoom meeting and meet with them. I believe that's daily. Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays are special guest shows. Tuesdays and Thursdays, there's a different format there. There's a professional there to have an interaction with. I will encourage you that if you want to call into our show, we'd love to have you be part of our panel. The phone number for call-ins are 646-595-2118. I'm going to repeat that guest call-in number, 646-595-2118. That number is for if you want to join our panel, and the panel will have an opportunity to interact with our guest several times during the show, asking questions, giving insights, whatever it is. I would ask, though, if you do that, please keep your questions and your insights correlated to what our special guest is talking about, because tonight is her night. And with that being said, I want to encourage everyone again, please call in 646-595-2118. Tonight, we have I'm going to say Dr. Rita Mercer, because I see PSYD, Dr. Rita Mercer from Los Angeles, California. She's a recent 2019 graduate of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Voila, there's my answer, with a doctorate degree in clinical forensic psychology. Now, I'm not going to go much further into this. I want to give Rita and Dr. Mercer an opportunity to come on and share her story. I do want to thank my co-host tonight, Penelope. She's from Washington State. She's one of our ambassadors. I, myself, am a Pennsylvania State Ambassador for NASCA. So all that being said, if you're on Facebook listening to this, please promote the show. Get some people to call in, 646-595-2118. You heard enough of me. Let's get Dr. Mercer on the line. Good evening, Dr. Mercer, and welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Charlie. I'm so happy to be here.
And we are, I already feel it. We're going to be blessed to have you here with us. So I used to read the entire bio, but then I'm like, then I take away the person's story. So I'm reading through some of these things here. Is this your first time on one of our shows on this platform?
Yes, it is.
Well, wonderful. I guess the first thing that jumps to my mind and kind of the question things, what path led you to go where you are now in getting your, and congratulations on your doctorate as well. What an awesome achievement. Was there something that sparked you at some point to saying, this is where I want to go or something like that?
Absolutely. I was in a quandary in terms of what I wanted to do with my life. You know, you go to work every day and you want your life to have meaning. And after losing my mom to complications to breast cancer, I realized that it was important that I didn't have any regrets. And so I launched my application and started the process to obtain my doctorate degree.
Wonderful. Are you still with us, Rita? Because I'm not hearing you at the moment.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Now, would you prefer to be called Dr. Mercer or Rita? Whatever you're comfortable with is where I want to be, because I want to make sure, you know, we give you the respect you've earned and deserve.
Rita is fine. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And then we'll call you Rita. And Rita, if you aren't familiar with NASCA, our belief systems in reference to family, if someone comes onto our site and looks at it, we're family. So you tonight, hello, my name is Charlie. I'm your I'm your brother out here in the great state of Pennsylvania. But, you know, and brother in the meaning of we understand. As I'm reading through the latter part, I can see that you had some roughness, some abuse in your childhood. And that kind of answers my question, doesn't it, of what I was asking earlier?
Yes. So basically, as you were reading through the information, my dad was the disciplinarian in our family, and he was of the mindset of, you know, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And his method of discipline was, if you were to do that now in this current society, that would be deemed as a corporal punishment. And so, unfortunately for him, it was based on what he knew. You know, you parent your children based on your own experiences. And so, especially when it came to education and school, that was his main focus. He wanted all of us to go to school. And, you know, growing up, early elementary was fine. But then once I passed first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, and there was, you know, parent-teacher night, you know, I got nervous because I didn't know what the teachers were going to say. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I was in fear that if anything negative were to be told on my behalf, I know I would have to be, I would get the dire consequences of that. So it was very turbulent times.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm gonna extract, and if it's okay with you, share a part of your biography that's here in front of me. Is that okay with you?
Okay.
All right. So I'm just going to give some more insight, because not everyone can see the biography, because I'm the host. I can actually see it. Our listening audience, unless they're on a website, they won't see it. So just going to kind of give them. So Rita is a first-generation American and the eldest of four girls, born to her father, who was a Trinidadian, and her mother, who was Panamanian. She grew up in a home with strong Christian values and morals. She grew up in a strict religious home. Rita often found herself the object of her father's wrath and controlling abusive behavior. Her father taught school in Trinidad. If she made a mistake or was slow to answer, she received a belt instead of compassion. This type of punishment continued for 16 years. So listen to that, 16 years, okay? And Rita, I'm going to address that in a moment with you because so many people who don't live in that environment, who didn't grow up in that environment, you will find most of us in the NASCA family have experienced some of what you experienced. They think, oh, at that age, you can just do something. Not when you've been groomed, controlled, and you live in fear. But that reason, as a result, she was terrified of math, barely passed high school, and avoided any major that involved statistics. Now, here I'm getting up to the part that really grabs my attention after this next. She lived in fear of her dad. She was very shy. She had self-esteem, lacked self-confidence, and struggled with anorexia. Now, folks, this next line is what caught my eye. Because you've heard Rita so far, those of you who are listening and that have called in. She had a severe stuttering problem, and speaking in public was an embarrassing experience. Folks, just, again, listen to what I just said there, and remember how Rita's spoken already. Look at and public speaking embarrassment. She's here tonight. She has her doctorate in clinical forensic psychology, and I'm excited to announce, and I'm very interested in, I definitely want to get to the portion of the show. You are the founder and chief executive officer of Color in Psychology. That's a limited liability corp. It's an online platform that supports graduate students in psychology with resources and a safe space to voice racial disparity concerns and my how important that has always been in America, but in such a time as this, it's definitely appointed, and discuss their experiences in predominantly white institutions. And, you know, Rita, you and I are going to have a lot to talk about tonight, I have a feeling. and it's good stuff because her end, the end of your biography says to me here, and Rita lives in gratitude and forgiveness, knowing God is in control. Hello. So we almost had some church up in here. Rita, I, you know, I'm just, you look at what you look, I mean, just reading that little bit, I can only imagine how much more you went through in your childhood. And, you know, I just couldn't imagine how you are got to where you are today, but it's amazing. Now, are mom and dad still with us, or did they get called from the earth yet?
So my dad is still alive. He's 96 years old and very much in all of his faculties. Unfortunately, we lost my mom 10 years ago to complications due to breast cancer. So she is with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So, I interrupted. Yeah.
That's all right. She is with the Lord now. We're waiting for her as we are our other loved ones.
Amen. Amen. So, wow, this is just amazing. And thank you, by the way, we do have some people that have joined our panel. I want to say thank you to those who have joined. And Rita, I know we said this is your first time here, and a lot of the things I see from what I'm reading that you delve into, I delve into I know our show here is about adult survivors of child abuse, but I think, and perhaps you agree or you won't, and that's okay, you know, there's a lot of this, there's some correlations between what people deem color of skin and abuse and cultural and ethnical differences is how things are. I've traveled, I've been to Trinidad, I've been to Panama, I've been to all over the Caribbean when I was in the military. And, you know, while we want to excuse some of these behaviors as being, quote, cultural, you know, or part of that process, and you also had mentioned in your opening or near the opening of tonight's show that, you know, when you were sharing about your father, the learned pattern and then repeating that into the next generation. Am I misquoting it all there?
No, you have it correct. And you're right. We're not excusing the behavior, but this is the reality of my upbringing, right? And so, you know, you wonder how you get from being shy, you know, being very nervous, You know, I didn't have any self-confidence. You know, math was a subject that I was terrified of. I had a complete block. You know, I would look at that, look on the board and try to figure it out, and I would just be dumbfounded because, you know, that was trauma. Understand, you know, it was a traumatic experience for me to be, you know, every time you didn't get something right on a math problem, particularly timetables, rather than, okay, what aren't you understanding? You know, what can I help you with? That was not the routine. The routine was invariably, you know, harsh, you know, disciplinary action that sent me to my room crying. And so clearly, you know, that is not a conducive environment for learning. So the result was I did not do well in school. Like I said, I barely passed, you know, high school. And math was something that I avoided. And that's one of the reasons why I chose criminal justice, because there was no math in that degree. And I did very well. And, you know, graduated from National University with a 4.82, right? So I knew school, yeah, school was something that I knew I could do very well. But now my next step was, you know, graduate school. All the graduate programs, master's in criminal justice, you know, all of those social work degrees required statistics and a thesis. And now my fear once again went up. So another roadblock. So I chose organizational management. There was no math in that, really. So did that at University of Phoenix. So you see where I'm going here, right? Avoiding the subject that I had the most fear in. And it wasn't until I realized that I needed to either accept the fact that I wasn't going to go any further in my education, or I needed to bite the bullet, so to speak, and jump in and fulfill a long-desired goal of getting a doctorate degree. And, you know, I was complacent, and finally, unfortunately, it had to be when my mom passed away that I realized I did not want to have any regrets in my life.
Wow. And so there you went, delving into math, huh?
Yes, I did. And keep in mind, all this time, you know, I relied on my faith through all of this. Yes, I was still, you know, had some low self-esteem, lack of confidence. I even struggled with anorexia, as you said earlier, because, you know, this environment of being chastised like that creates insecurity in you. You're not given words of encouragement. You're not given words of you know, confidence. You're met with harsh, you know, disciplinary actions. And so you are not able to see yourself succeeding. And it wasn't until that event happened in my life that I realized I could not let this fear hold me back any longer. And with that, and with God's help, you know, I was able to complete this major milestone in my life.
That is powerful. And if you don't mind, I'll ask it in a very way, because no man in his right mind asks a woman her age. So how young were you when you actually started to tackle your math? And the reason I'm asking you that is because I got a feeling there's going to be somebody out there tonight that's going to hear that, you know, they can't do this because of such and such. But you tackled it. You tackled something. You know, what age bracket? 20, 30, 10?
So I like to call myself a seasoned learner. I am seasoned in that started this journey when I was in my late 50s. So that can give you an idea as to how old I am now.
Well, look at this. So and there it is. It's not about the age that in particular. It's about what you were able to do. And folks, what I want you to get from that, our listeners, both now and by the way, Rita, this show is archived, so it will be available into perpetuity. So we might have somebody listen to the show a year down the road. So there's going to be somebody. I'm in my late 50s. And I have my educational experience as far as academia only goes as high as a high school diploma. Although when people ask me if I have a degree, I tell them I was born with 98.6. I don't need any more. what I want to encourage those out there that are might be struggling in this area, maybe you were put down, you were beat down. Listen to what Rita's told us tonight. You know, you can do anything. Age is a number. There's nothing that should stop you. The only thing that would stop you, I believe, Rita Wright, is yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am a lifelong learner. I intend to continue learning until the Lord calls me home. I don't intend to stop. And I think that's a great way to be because your mind is always working. You're always learning new things that keeps you motivated to wake up in the morning. It's a great way to have in your life is lifelong learning at any age.
I agree. I mean, if you're not learning something every day, you're not doing something right, in my belief. Not saying that's right, but that's how I feel. Rita, I don't see mention of looking going back, and we're going to ready to do a round with the panel here shortly with you, okay? But I don't see mention of, and I'm going just to double check my. Oh no, there are siblings. Okay. So you're the eldest of four girls. We're not here for your sister's stories tonight, but did you find that you were singled out by your father, or was this by his behavior with all of his children pretty much the same?
So I can only talk about my perspective. You know,
exactly.
At this point, I'm sure my sisters have their own take on things, but keep in mind, being the eldest, I was given the responsibility of being an example. And so you can see that as being the eldest of four, it was up to me to toe the line, so to speak, but also be the one that received the harsh discipline when deemed appropriate. So
did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, I just heard the quiet, so I wasn't sure. I apologize. What you'll find with the Blog Talk Radio platform, there's a delay between, so sometimes there might be that silent moment, but I just want to make sure we didn't lose you because the other day we were having some technical difficulties. Rita, how do you feel about doing a round with our panel? We have three folks called in, and it looks like we have the East Coast covered, the West Coast covered, and the central part of the country's got somebody as well.
Absolutely. I'm game for that.
All right. Well, and I just checked you out on LinkedIn. I connected up with you there. Folks, Rita Mercer can be found on LinkedIn. And if you go to our website, you can click on her name and it'll take you to her LinkedIn account. I encourage you to get on. And I really want to talk to you about the CEO of Color and Psychology. But let's get our panelists in here one at a time. First, Rita, we're bringing Penelope on. Penelope's my co-host tonight. So she probably introduced herself to you before the show started. And she's in the great state of Washington, and she's our ambassador in Washington for NASCA, which means she's the go-to person out there when it comes to NASCA issues that are going on in Washington State. So, Penelope, good evening and welcome. You're on with Rita.
Hi, thank you, Charlie. And, yes, Rita and I had a nice chat before the show started, and, wow, Dr. Mercer does her homework. She had educate herself and listen to some shows, and so she was aware of the lag time. So I believe the pause she's giving is she knows of the lag time. So, Rita, I read your bio, and I just want to tell you that I think you are so inspiring to me. You are so inspiring. I can relate. I grew up in a very similar, and I know the show's not about about the panelists, but grew up in a very similar household, and we weren't given a 1-2-3 timeout. My dad had a black belt, and I was the most, I think I got the black belt almost every day. But when you were talking about living in that environment and the fear of disappointment, especially around academic performance and the shame and the fear that went along with it, that's why I find you so inspiring, because number one, you're able to talk about it. And number two, which I think is really hard when you lived with that shame and that fear and of non-performance, but also the fact that of what you've accomplished is so inspiring, especially not having good marks in high school, and now you've actually received your doctorate, and I think that's amazing.
Thank you, Penelope, and I give all glory and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I could not have accomplished what I have accomplished. So thank you so much for that. And it's just that for me, it was a goal that I needed to achieve for my own, for my life. And I knew that God had placed the desire in my heart to help others. And so for me, it was important that I accomplish this goal, because there were others who are coming behind me that need to know that no matter what you go through, no matter what age, no matter where you come from, if the Lord places on your heart a desire or a dream, that you can achieve that dream, because he is the finisher, and he places these desires in our hearts, and he will direct your path to complete them. And so for me, it is a culmination of God's work. And I know that he has more in store for me.
Oh, no doubt. And I appreciate you sharing that, because it obviously is something that really powered you through. And my question for you, and you don't have to answer it, but I noticed you said you had a severe stuttering problem in speaking in public, and obviously you do not have a stuttering problem now. And I'm curious as to how you transitioned and overcame that stuttering problem, and how that happened in your life.
Thank you for that question. I remember a young woman came to me while I was employed at a major insurance company during an in-service public speaking course, and she said to me, "The reason you're having these issues is because your brain is working very fast, but you can't bring the words out in time, and so that's why you're stuttering." She said to me, "If you take a breath, breathe, and speak slowly, you'll find out that you will not stutter." And sure enough, it took me some time to get the hang of that, but I realized if I took a breath, took my time to speak, and spoke slowly and clearly, that I would not stutter. And that's how I was able to overcome that disorder. I know that there are times when I get a little excited and it comes out, but generally speaking, I have learned over the years, I've had to speak in front of people from my job, at church, and now online. And so it's become part of my life now, to the point where only if I'm a little excited or a little nervous, it comes up. But generally speaking, one would never know I had a stuttering problem.
No. And I'm curious if in your work you have actually, because I work with the autonomic nervous system and the breath. So it sounds like you, and I know from the type of childhood of growing up in fear and being in that frozen, in that state of, well, you're in a fight or flight, but you're really frozen, that the breath work really helps to bring the body back to homeostasis. And I'm wondering if that's something that you're doing in your work, because it sounds like you incorporated that with your stuttering, getting over the stuttering.
Yes. In my training, one of the things that they taught us is basically learning how to breathe, learning to pay attention to your breath, to your heartbeat, and that's one of the things that I've used in my training with other individuals in my pre-doc and my also on my Seeking Safety support group, is learning to pay attention to the breath, be present. And when you do that, mm-hmm. it calms your heartbeat, because you are in that fight or flight mode and your heart is beating faster. You're thinking to yourself, oh, am I going to mess up? You're not going to like me. I'm going to be horrible at this. And so all these negative thoughts are coming at you. And this also contributes to the stuttering, because your mind is just fleeting with all these words and you don't have enough words that are coming out in time. And so that creates the stuttering. And so once you start to breathe, pay attention to where you are, take your time, you start to say to yourself, what am I afraid of? You prepared for this. You start to give yourself some positive affirmation. It starts to calm down. That heartbeat slows down the blood pressure. And so now you're able to speak clearly and get through whatever task that is in front of you.
Wow. That's absolutely, and that's such an amazing, amazing accomplishment, and the fact that you're able to inspire and help others through that. And I know from having a family member that was a victim of abuse their entire lives and had a stutter, that family member never has passed away, was never able to have that kind of direction and never got over the stuttering. So I know from my own personal experience, not doing the work can, you know, result in. So I just think that's amazing.
I appreciate that. And it's just a testament to resiliency, perseverance, and determination, and having a support group. You know, there are people in my life who poured into me, my Aunt Pat, my Aunt Lucille, my Aunt Cam, my mom, who were supportive, my village at my church. There is a support team out there who has encouraged me and given me the support that I needed all along the way. But it's also important that you, also the individual, have confidence in yourself, and that's the most important thing. Others can clearly support you, but you have to have the self-confidence. You have to have the determination and the will to pursue your goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have, and that's why I find you so inspiring. And I'm really looking forward to hearing you more in the show as we go through more of your life and your accomplishments. But I've brought a huge smile to my face.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to hear that.
Penelope, once again, thank you for what you're doing in helping with the show. And thank you for giving Rita the heads up on the delay. So now I know what's going on. It's all good. Great job. Appreciate you. Rita, we're going to go from Washington State on the west coast of the country, out where you are, on the western side of the country. We're going to fly across. We're going to land in New York. We're going to bring Mary Ellen on from New York. Mary Ellen, you're on with Rita.
Hello, Rita. Nice to meet you.
Same here, Mary Ellen.
I've been appreciating your story. You're a very successful woman. Thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I love the thought of constant learning. You know, it's you never know where you're going to end up, but one thing's for sure, it's never wasted. You know, everything you learn takes you someplace further.
Absolutely.
It's been really interesting listening to your journey, and I'll enjoy the rest of it, I'm sure. So I won't say no more right now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mary Ellen, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. Once again, Mary Ellen's become a real a person we can rely on to call in and join with the show. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time and for being here with us tonight, Mary Ellen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And next, Rita, we're gonna go to the central part of the country with a little southern drawl. We're going to hit Darlene out of Tennessee. Darlene, you are on with Rita.
Hello, Rita. I'm so glad you're here.
Hello, Darlene. Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Thank you. I understood that when you said you were afraid of math. I was afraid of algebra. But anyway, whenever I had quit school in the 12th grade, the second semester, because principal said if I continued going to the doctor, he wouldn't let me graduate no matter what my grades were. So I just quit, you know. I thought, why should I try to get good grades and try to, you know, do the graduation thing and be going to let me graduate, you know. So anyway, I quit school, and it took me a couple years, I guess at least. I was in my 30s before I went back to college. But I finally got my GE. Ma'am.
Great. That's excellent.
And then I said, well, I still got to do my, and then I went to college a little while, but then my husband beat me so bad I couldn't attend college, so I had to quit. And I was, and I could not believe I had a 4.0 in algebra.
Good for
and
you.
I didn't understand what the heck I was doing either. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't understand it, you know.
Wow.
But anyway, you know, after I divorced him, I got a degree in medical, what's that, medical, you know, when you do doctor's reports and stuff like that, you know, kind of like medical transcription type of stuff.
Oh, great. Congratulations to
code
you.
Code and billing, that's what it's called. Medical code and billing, I got a degree in that.
Good for
so,
you.
So I'm proud of you, and you keep going, okay?
I'm proud of you, too, and thank you.
Thank you so much. And I am an ambassador for Tennessee.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind, definitely.
And Darlene, thank you for that gentle redirection, and I apologize that I did not bring that up. But, yes, Darlene is our ambassador for Tennessee. I've adjusted that. Darlene, thank you so much. We look forward to bringing you on with the next round of the panel. Well, Rita, you made it through your first round of the panel. You wiping the sweat off yet?
I'm good. Thank you.
I hear. Well, you know, sometimes people get a little, when I speak or when I'm out places, people say, you know, why do you have laughter? It's a very serious topic. Well, yeah, it is serious, but you have to be able to laugh, because I think God gave us laughter, because even in your worst moment, if you can laugh, you forget about the worst that's going on for even a few seconds. So
absolutely.
I think humor is good.
Humor is good for the soul.
Absolutely. Hey, I love it anyway. And another point that I identified with you, is about the low self-esteem, the very shy. You know, it's funny. People who meet me now, as I look at you, you're actually speaking, Charlie. Like, and now they call me Chatty Charlie because I don't shut up. it's just incredible what you've been able to do. Now, are you and your siblings close to one another?
We are not close in age, but we do communicate with each other. I'm the oldest, and of course, and then 3 years after that is my second sister, and then 18 months after that is the third sister, and then 9 years after that is the fourth sister. So there is some age years in between, but we are very close. Yes, we are.
That's beautiful. So I just want to clarify something. So you dealt with this punishment for 16 years. Does that mean at around 16 years of age it stopped, or it went on from at some point for 16 years?
Well, what happened is that at 16, I realized I had to, you know, stand up for myself literally. And instead of crying and running away, I stood there and took the beating. And at that point, that's when the beating stopped, when I decided I wasn't going to take it anymore. And so I literally just stood there as he was beating me, and he realized I wasn't going to cry, and that's when it stopped.
Wow. Wow. That what already showing your intestinal fortitude and you know, what, you know, and I know at NASCA, I'll just put this quick disclaimer out there for NASCA's purposes. NASCA doesn't particularly support a specific spiritual belief system or non-spiritual belief system. We believe everybody's welcome. That being said, and being a person of faith myself, and knowing that, as you gave credit to earlier in the show, but for the grace of God, go I today. Just incredible, incredible faith. I mean, to be able to stand there. I mean, I'm picturing you almost like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they're standing there going, "What are you going to do to me? You know, God got my back," and they walked right out of it. Look at you today. You were in that fiery furnace, and for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that gets you a chance to look up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you can find out. But today, out of the fiery furnace, doing amazing things.
Exactly, as you know, at a certain point in your life, you realize enough is enough. And at 16, going on 17, 18, 19, like you said, you have to determine to yourself, are you going to continue this kind of treatment? And so something in me just said this was it for me. And I can't remember why I was getting this punishment, but I just decided I wasn't going to shrink anymore. I wasn't going to cow anymore. And so I just stood there. And after it was over, you know, I realized that I had to stand up for myself. And that was the last of it. I didn't get that again.
And again, what amazing fortitude. And you know, wow. I just keep picturing, you know, and I say it again, my humor, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and away we go. We're getting out of here. But incredible. So, man, I mean, I'm really interested. I guess let me do a time check here, because I'll tell you, an hour and a half sounds like a long time till you get rolling. And then it's like, gee, it's almost over already. But we are, believe it or not, at about the halfway point in the show. We're at about 45 minutes. So, were you raised in California, or did you stay where you were raised at as a child, or did you move around?
No, I was raised in California, Los Angeles to be exact. And around in my early 20s, my family moved to a small bedroom community of Roland Heights. And that's where my father resides now. And since, I think it was many years ago, after school and after we all got education, my sisters live in Riverside and Whittier, but I'm in Los Angeles now.
Gotcha. Okay. I spent a little time in Los Angeles, very little time back in 1994 in the, where was I? Some part of Los Angeles near the Crystal Cathedral. I remember that, but Garden Grove, that's it. So, I mean, I guess I want to go, this is your night, it's your show. I'm just here to kind of help facilitate the conversation. Where would you like the show to go next in sharing what you will about yourself and your story?
So, after all of that happened in my life, I always had a burning desire to be of service to others. There was something in the back of my mind that told me there is a reason why I'm going through this. There's a reason why I'm experiencing this trauma. You know, Lord, what is it? And I was working for the Superior Court of Los Angeles for about 16 years. And after a while, I realized I wanted more from my life. I didn't want to go to work every day, do the same thing every day, and not make an impact. And as I was thinking about what to do or where to go, I realized that psychology would give me the breadth that I needed and the depth that I needed to, A, answer the question as to how I was feeling, what I was going through, and then use that experience to help others. And so consequently, after talking to one of my good friends, she encouraged me to apply first to Argosy University. I applied there, and a professor informed me of a school that had opened up that had forensic psychology as one of the disciplines, and so I applied. And Dr. Deborah Warner, who has been a guest on this show, she did the phone interview, and I was accepted and began my journey to my PsyD in clinical forensic psychology. And from there, it has really opened up my eyes in terms of human behavior. You know, I realized some of the things that I had gone through with struggling with weight, anorexia, why I was having the low self-esteem, why the self-confidence, why I was so shy. And I realized that all of these experiences was to be able to relate to others and let them know that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that you can be successful, that God does give you a reason for living. And consequently, I have found a purpose. I found my passion. I found my meaning. And I'm working now with the Mount Rubido SDA Church with the Women's Ministry, where we have launched the chat series online, where we discuss women's issues, social justice issues. We impart information to anyone who wants to sign on. We have licensed clinical psychologists. We have pastors, experts in the field. Some of the topics that we have discussed range from role of women to voting rights, women's suffrage, black and brown men, how they are dealing with racism, what's going on now in our society, physical, sexual, emotional abuse, misinformation of the female anatomy, relationships. We run the gamut. And so we are getting support from all the way from Toronto to England and every state in the union. It's a weekly online conversation that happens every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6 Standard Time. And you can go on the website, mountrubidolive.com/online groups, to sign up for any of our online support groups and the chat series. So this is how I am paying it forward, helping others to live better, productive lives.
Well, I want you, I want our listeners to catch that, what you shared about the where it's located. Could you repeat the website and perhaps spell it out so that people can have a moment to get that information for us? We'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's called, the website is Mount Rubido, MTRUBIDOLIVE.com/online-groups. And if you click on that website, the groups will show up. We have online support groups. We have online groups for children to young adults. I facilitate the Seeking Safety Support Group, which is a group that is focused primarily on individuals who have experienced trauma, whether it be physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. And it's an opportunity for individuals to share their experiences, feelings, coping strategies. And currently we are reading the book Boundaries by Drs. Cloud and Townsend. And it's a Christian-based perspective on establishing healthy boundaries. And so you're welcome to join us every Thursday night at 7 p.m.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for the clarification for both our listeners today and the future. Again, I want to encourage our listeners that may be out there and you want to, maybe you haven't made a call, maybe you want to hear your voice heard, but you have fear. It's okay. And maybe you'd like to call, but you just, that's just the first step. Well, I encourage you, call, and when my co-host, Penelope, comes on to ask you, you know, who you are and where you're from, just let her know, listen, I'm taking my first step in even having my voice heard by calling in. You don't even have to come on air. Just do that, take that first step, and call 646-595-2118 if you are listening to the show live tonight, Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. I encourage you to take that first step, because you were silent at some point in your life, like most all of us were, for whatever reason, now that it came about. You don't have to be silent anymore, and your voice deserves to be heard, and your story deserves to be out from you. So I encourage you, as we are tonight with Rita, she's sharing her story and her insights. Right now, I just felt there's somebody out there that's going to listen to this now in the future, know that we're here for you. So, Rita, I'm thinking it's almost 20 minutes since we last started with the panel. How about we do another round with the panel? Is there something else you want to go into before we do that?
Oh, most certainly.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. And Rita, you and I are definitely going to be in contact after the show, but I'm going to bring up some other topics that I want to talk to you on the show with before we get off. But let's go. We're going to go back to Penelope in Washington. Again, our ambassador there and my co-host this evening. Good evening, Penelope. You're back on with Rita.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. Hi, Rita. You know, there was something I was thinking about just something that you said that really struck me, that when you were, I think it was 15 or 16, that you actually really just stood up to your father and really just did not want to endure and took a stand against enduring the physical abuse. And then there was a shift after that. And that I found that to be very profound. And my question is, he is now in his 90s, and I know I too have lost one parent, and I have one surviving parent. And I know how precious that time is, and that it's not something to take for granted. And I'm curious to see if you've revisited any dialogue with your father about your childhood and its impact on you in all the different ways that you described on the show and in your bio, if you've had any other conversations with him.
Thank you for that question. There was a time in our lives, meeting my sisters and I, when we talked to our dad about how he treated us, and we let him know that how it made us feel, and he apologized for that. And I had to come to the realization, I think I mentioned it earlier, that he only knew what he knew, and that it was the way that he felt was appropriate. And, you know, as you get older, you learn better ways to parent children. You know, there weren't any books when he was growing up on how to parent children. All he had was the Bible and what he saw around him. You know, now that we have various different psychologists and child psychologists and other people who tell us, you know, how to rear children, you know, punishment is not corporal punishment is not one of those ideals. But in terms of now, as I've gotten older, I realize that I had to, A, forgive him, and B, understand that there was a reason why I was given that experience, and so use that as fuel to do better. I have godchildren that I spend time with. I was able to be an auntie to two beautiful godsons who I knew since birth, and I took them to various events, you know, train ride to San Diego, SeaWorld, Children's Museum, dinners out, just bonded with them, and I was able to experience what childhood I had missed through them. And that was a gift from God to me. Despite what I went through, I was able to pour into them, experience a great childhood, enjoy spending time with a young person, and do the things that I would have liked to have done in my childhood. And so I believe that that was what the Lord wanted me to do. And subsequently, I have been gifted with many other young people in my life who I love and adore, and who whose opinions and whose lives I am a part of. And so that has been the healing for me, and I realized that I had to recognize the limitations that my father had based on where he was from. And we have a good relationship now. You know, I go and see him, make sure he's okay. You know, we talk. I even traveled to Trinidad with him last year, September. It'll be a year ago today, as a matter of fact, that we traveled to Trinidad together. I saw his where he grew up. I was able to see the school that he went to, travel with him. And so it was a full circle moment for me in that I was able to garner our history, our family history, and be able to spend that time with him.
Oh, that is so wonderful, and I'm glad that you had the opportunity to travel with him, especially in his 90s, because I know that's no easy feat to do, and thankfully that you did, because who knew the year, you know, you fast forward a year, what the world would be like with COVID. But the fact that you had the conversations with your father early on in your life at 15 or 16, and then later on that you had a kind of relationship where you could take a trip like that, I think that's amazing. I think it takes a lot of courage to be able to talk to someone that's hurt you in that way growing up and have an open and honest dialogue.
And thank you for that. And I also understand, too, where he was coming from. You know, I can't fault him for that, but at the same time, I also know that God was in the midst of all of that, and I am a testament to what God can do in terms of forgiveness, in terms of resiliency, determination, and love. You know, that is my father, and despite what I went through, I still persevered, and I have a village around me that supports me, that encourages me, and so I know that my ultimate goal is to encourage and support others through their trauma that they have been through.
And you are, which is amazing, really amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Penelope, thank you so much for, again, being here tonight. Okay, well, we're going to, this time, Rita, we're going to go to the central part of the country again and go back to Darlene from Tennessee. Mary Ellen did have to step away from the show from New York, Please don't let that offend you, Rita. Mary Ellen, I know on civil so that things do in the evening, but she does like to pop in here and say hello. So let's go to Darlene in Tennessee, our ambassador from Tennessee. Hello, Darlene. You're back on with Rita.
Hello. You show a lot of strength in your story and a lot of power, inner strength. And, well, it's, I believe you overcame from shyness to assertiveness where I'm not saying aggressiveness, I'm saying assertiveness where you demand to be treated with respect now, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's important to have healthy boundaries. It's important to recognize your worth. And through my own journey of self-reflection and what kind of life I wanted to lead, I realized that there were others, young people who were watching me. I have a godson. I have godkids. I have young people who are watching my journey. So it was important for me to have a stance of gratitude, appreciation, and love, because ultimately having any kind of negativity or holding any kind of a grudge is not productive. It does not help us in terms of our progression in life. If we internalize things, as you know, our body takes on, you know, negative thoughts and negative feelings. And so for me, it was better to project and be in a spirit of love and gratitude and appreciation just for life, being able to come through those experiences still standing and recognizing that that is a blessing in and of itself. And so for that, I continue to be supportive of anyone who is in the valley of decision. If they're thinking about, wow, you know, can I really go back to school? Or, you know, I'm too old to fulfill a dream. I rebuke that. You're never too old. It's never too late to fulfill a dream, a purpose, a goal. It just means putting yourself out there, stepping out there, and trust me, once you put that first step out, the next foot will follow, and you will find that the rest is right there in front of you.
Right. I'm seeking to know a little more now.
Absolutely.
Well, Darlene, once again, we thank you. Darlene, once again, we thank you for being here tonight, being on the show with us and calling in. The flow of the show is going wonderful, Rita. We're really getting along in here. I do encourage our listeners to call in 646-595-2118. We have just a little under a half an hour of the show left. Rita, where do you want to go next? If you don't have a direction, I've got an area to explore for the next half hour, if that's okay with you, unless there's something pressing on your mind you need to get out.
Well, no, we can go with what you have.
All right. Well, it's about what you're doing and your life's work now. And it there's some alignment there between your work and some of the work I do. Or at least, let me put it this way. I think there is. Okay. About the color of psychology. Very interesting. And I know it's a little off topic about abuse, but the abuse led you to where you are today, as me as well. And are you comfortable sharing with a little bit about that? Do you think this is the right, format, genre to do that with?
Absolutely. The color in psychology came about after a conversation with a colleague. I was honored and privileged to be the California Psychological Association student, graduate student group, diversity and social justice chair for 2019-2021. And in talking to a colleague on that director's board, there was information that came to me that students were having issues with faculty and clinical supervisors in regards to diversity and equality and inclusion. And so they did not feel comfortable speaking to the faculty at the school because, as you know, when you're trying to get your doctorate or master's degree, the faculty are the ones that have to help you get through that process. And sometimes if you are in conflict with them, it can stymie your progress. And so I reached out to another mentor colleague of mine who has a private practice, and he's on the one of the Division II of the California Psychological Association, and he was in agreement with me. And so The Color of Psychology will be launched officially on Friday, where students or psychologists or supporters, early career psychologists, can come and find resources that can help them navigate through these issues, because sometimes they need someone else, a third party, to help them to process what they're going through. And that's one. And then two, to help them to formulate a plan. How do I talk to this professor? How do I express myself without coming off as being aggressive? Or how do I bridge this gap? Because as you know, with everything that's going on in our world, it's important that people of color, especially in graduate programs in psychology, are heard, because we deal with diversity every day. And so I just felt the need, and I felt that there was a gap there. And so The Color of Psychology came to be.
And that's, you know, I think in my, you know, my lifetime, the things I've experienced, one of the while we're right now really living in unprecedented times with all the health issues, unfortunately, it's not unprecedented times in the rampant racism and separation of people by the skin tone of the pigmentation of their skin. Unfortunately, that's been, you know, since the inception of time. But it's interesting that, because I see here now, I want to make sure I address this correctly, because I see color in psychology and then there's color of psychology. Is there a differentiation between the two, or is one the right one and one the wrong one?
So my Facebook page is Color in Psychology. So if you look at a coloring book, and if psychology is the template, if you color in psychology, we color in brown, black, white, red, all of the different colors in the diaspora in our society, and we include everyone, because psychology includes everyone that is in our world, you know, white, black, brown, yellow, transgender, LGBT, everyone is included in that umbrella.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That is awesome. A gentleman you may have heard of taught me a lesson, one of my earlier lessons about skin tone. And his name, you might, like I said, you may have heard of him. His name is Meadowlark Lemon. For those of you who don't know, do you know who Meadowlark Lemon is, Rita?
I do.
Well, Meadowlark Lemon, who, for those of our listeners who don't know, he was one of the founding fathers and formers of the Harlem Globetrotters. And Meadowlark Lemon was speaking at a church where I was a member and actually on staff at that time. And this was back 20-some-odd years ago. And ironically, and not ironically at the same time, the topic was racism in America. And this topic has been, anybody who's willing to be honest, it's been a topic that has been brought up and then hushed up, And, you know, it's wrong to have done that. But I want to say that day, you know, we're having fun. He's doing basketballs all over the church. We're just having a good old time. And then he starts talking about color, and he opened my eyes up. And because, you know, we describe, I appear, when people look at me, they want to classify me as being white. Okay? So I was the white person, and when you look at Meadowlark Lemon, or a man of color, you know, he was the black person. So he, for whatever reason, God had him bring me up on the stage. And he grabs me, and I'm wearing a black suit, and he's wearing a white suit. So he's, you know, he's a tall dude. He comes over, and he puts my hand next to his suit, and he says, "You ain't white," in his thing. And then he put my black suit against him, and I said, "And I ain't black." He said, "We need to come to understand that we're all people of color. And if we can get past that and stop looking at ourselves for what we see on the outside and know what God created on the inside, we can really make a major change in this world." And that impacted me from that very day through the rest. And so I acknowledge, and I've seen firsthand, unfortunately, the disparaging ways that my brothers and sisters of a darker complexion than I, aka the world calls them black, they're not black to me, but I respect that they're darker complexion and they have struggles, and I've unfortunately witnessed them. And to have the color in psychology, that kind of goes right along with the word of God, where, you know, God, again, this is your show, and I'm actually on your page right now. I see Penelope. Penelope beat me to the punch. She already got on there. Nice. Good job, Penelope. But good job. No, he's really a great person. But I love it because you're bringing that scriptural part right into it as well. You know, all of us, no matter what we look like, we're created in the image of God, male and female alike. And I just want to stop and let you speak on this because I'm excited to hear about that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Charlie. Yes. It just, once again, I'm just grateful that the Lord put that in my spirit to really take a look at what psychology is all about. And in my various conferences that I would go to, I would not see very many people of color. And the people that I learned about were predominantly of European descent, and I realized that even though, you know, they propound to be of diverse and they want people of color to be part of this group, and various schools, you know, promote inclusion, the reality is that if you look at the majority of people who make up psychology as a whole, it's not as diverse as they would like. And so for me, I realized I had an opportunity to make a difference in one student or two students or three students, whomever comes on my site, that we can pull together, band together, support each other. I plan to have resources available in terms of low cost to pro bono mental health services for students who need to talk to somebody who will be an objective listener who can give them some support as they go through their academic journey. And so it's in its infancy stages, but I am of the mind that as long as I start it, it'll come, right? So if I just do it, even though it's not perfect, it'll get there.
Well, a farmer doesn't gather his grows and get it to the market to sell it after he's planted the seeds, worked the seeds, and harvested the seeds. So, you know, harvested the outcome. So, yeah, absolutely. I want to ask your permission. I'm on your Facebook page right now for Color in Psychology, and I'm getting ready to share it into my social network. And I want to ask your permission. I put in the topic where, you know, I get to write whatever I want to write in there. I and I wrote this: let's get to coloring our world of colored people.
Okay.
Is that okay or no? If it is,
oh yes, I see you now. Yes, definitely, definitely.
Okay, well that's there. I'm always honored by these shows. You know, Rita, I say this nearly every show. It's not every show. I do look forward to the day that we at NASCA look for someone to bring on as a special guest, and we can't find anyone other than someone who's helping people overcome the trauma that they experience, because we've been able to stop child abuse so we don't have children growing up to be adult survivors of child abuse. That's my, you know, pretty euphoric utopian world. Unfortunately, I know the harsh reality. We're not going to see that anytime soon, but it's not an excuse to perpetrate the behavior. And so my next question falls into, are you a mother, if that's okay to ask you?
No, I'm not a mother biologically, but I have many children out there spiritually.
Although I'm not a mother, no matter how I want to be.
I have many godkids. I have godsons that call me auntie and nana. So God has blessed me with many children out there.
That's right. That is right. And that's so important. And I'm the father of a beautiful daughter, but I was just curious because, one of the things you had mentioned earlier was sometimes that those behavioral patterns follow themselves into the next generation, despite not liking that. And that when we didn't like the behavior yet, we find ourselves, some of them become parents, usurping that same behavior upon our children. And in my way of saying it, I just say it the way I see it, it's an excuse. You know, I personally, when I knew I was going to become a parent, I went and sought help to make sure I didn't become who I had witnessed what parenting was. So that's why I was curious if you're a parent or not. But you are a parent, like you said. And you're going to hear as I close tonight's show, I use my same sign-off, and I'll let you know what it is now because I use it at the end of the show. You know, the only person not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention, I'm sorry, let me go back and repeat that. The only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who is never a child. So at the end of the day, if you grasp that, every adult is a parental role model, is what a child is looking at. Would you agree with me on that, on what they need to become, or what an adult does and what ultimately they may become from those experiences?
Absolutely. We are, as John Maxwell says, we have people who we influence. Just if you go to the store, as we get up in the morning, how we react to adversity, how we react to challenges. People are watching you, and you doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a degree to be an influence, just the way that you are on an everyday basis. And yes, if once you know better, you do better. I made a commitment to treat my godchildren the way I wanted to be treated as a child, and I bestow the love and the support that they deserve. And absolutely, you make the commitment to do better than what you saw growing up. And that's how you change that paradigm. That's how you change that trajectory of others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Man, I'm feeling like another round with the panel. What about you, Rita? And I can call you sis, too, because not only are you my sister on NASCA now, but you're a sister in faith. Because while we may never meet here on Earth, and I'm not saying we won't, but we don't know that, but I know one thing. It sounds like you have a reservation somewhere, and I have a reservation for the same place. Non-smoking section, please.
Absolutely. This is all about connection and building relationships, and by all means, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we'll always be connected.
Absolutely, and I don't want anybody out there to end up in the smoking section, if you know what I mean. So everybody, we need to have everybody out there in the non-smoking section. I think it's going to be a little hot over in the smoking section, just to say. Let's get Penelope back on, okay? Thank you, Rita. Penelope, sure. You're back on with.
Thank you, Charlie. Oh my gosh, Rita, you just quoted my, as you know, my favorite and inspiring Maya Angelou. I love that quote, do the best you can until you know better, then when you know better, do better. So
Amen.
True, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
She has so many quotes that she has said over the years that I literally copy down and I refer to all the time. But just getting back to the color and psychology, I love the fact that a couple of things, well, number one, I love what you've done in terms of color and psychology. I just think anytime there's a platform where anyone who's feeling alone in a struggle can go, because that's what, to me, it's you know, and you just kind of describe it in your childhood, it's just like the isolation of the struggle and the shame behind the struggle. I just love the platform. And I love what you said, too, about, you know, you went for it and you did it. And you have to, you know, you have to do it. And I think knowing you, building this platform, it's going to help so many people, because that's just who you are. And, I mean, you can just see it in everything you've discussed and everything that you've done. But I also like what you said about it, just, what I realize is sometimes a small thing has a big impact, you know, and you just stated that, but I, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, and you know, a detailed, complicated, some, you know, platform that's been out there a long time. You have to start somewhere. So I just love the fact that you're doing it and you're putting it out there.
Thanks.
I mean, so I think that is just so inspiring, and it just, I think it's going to just be so helpful to so many people. And that is, I think, what, as you've, again, as you've exemplified, but, you know, you're such an amazing resource. And I just can't wait to see what happens in the future with that platform, and probably with others that you're going to be bringing into the world that you are in and that we are in.
Thank you, Penelope, for that word, those words of support. And I will admit, you know, I was hesitant because I wanted to be perfect, right? You want it to be a quality product, but I realized that I was getting in my own way. And so I just decided, you know what, Lord, you put it on my heart. I'm just going to launch this. It's going to be what it's going to be. It's going to evolve and morph into perfection, but in the meantime, I just needed to do it. And so that was my motivation, and I'm just praying that it will be a blessing to those that see the site and that they will find it a resource for them moving forward.
Oh, and it absolutely will be. It's already there. You've already done it. I mean, it's already there. And I always feel that, I know the show's not about us, but I've learned that baby steps are okay, and baby steps end up being giant leaps the more baby steps you take. But a baby step is perfectly fine. Even God didn't build, you know, the earth didn't come about in a day. You know, it was 6 days and a day of rest. So there you go, you know.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Right. Absolutely.
You're
yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
That's right. I say, you know, when on the seventh day God created woman, and I know that, you know, but that's my little joke. And how did women get the woman as their thing and a man as man? Because when man woke up, he looked over and said, "Whoa, man."
Thank you for that, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, got to throw a little humor out there. Penelope, thank you again for being my awesome co-host tonight. I'm going to over to Darlene again, our ambassador out of Tennessee. Darlene, you are back on with Rita.
Hey there.
Hey, Darlene.
I wrote a quote about when I was living in after my divorce. And when I started healing a little bit more, The quote is, as a child, I grew in stature. As an adult, I grow in wisdom.
Okay. Yes, yes.
So that kind of helped me along when I kept thinking that quote, you know, I need to keep growing, you know.
Amen. Absolutely. Yes.
You'll be wiser, grow, don't have so much be said in your ways. Always be ready to learn. Don't think you know it all that kind of stuff like that, you know.
Right. It's important. That's why I enjoy being around my God kids. They tell me the latest thing. They keep me up on what's going on. And so I learn from them all the time.
You want to hear something funny?
Go ahead.
My real name, this is my author name, Darlene. My maiden name is Black, okay? So I have a lot of fun when people say, I said, sure we do. And I said, so do we. I say, I'm Black, you know. And they said, no, you're not. And I said, well, my main name was.
Okay.
Oh, I have a lot of fun with that, you know.
Thank you.
But, yeah,
yes.
You know, God knows, loves all colors. God said, even white. You got white as a color, don't you, when you go in a color in your crayon?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, we're not that white. You know, we're not that white as it says. We got tan. We got brownish. We got the sun-kissed, you know, the olive oil type.
Oh, yes. All the colors of the rainbow. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Jesus loves us all.
Yes, he does.
And that's
yes, he does.
That's why when folks, and I know we've been addressing Rita by her name, thanks to her grace, but Rita did earn the right to have be called Dr. Mercer. So I want to say, folks, I want you to be on the lookout for an adult coloring book, Color in Psychology, coming soon. I'm throwing it on you, Dr. Mercer. Coming soon to a table near you.
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Darlene. Thank you so much. We have about 3 minutes left. I want to give you about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, Dr. Rita Mercer. You've earned that title, and I believe that we should address you that way. And you've been blessing us all evening with the grace of addressing you as Rita. But you worked hard to earn that. I want to give you about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to share whatever it is you want to do as your closing remark, and then I'll bring our panel back on to give you a fond farewell.
Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate the affirmation. My closing words or parting words would be that if you are struggling right now with insecurities, or if you're going through a traumatic experience, or if you're feeling that what you have to say is not important or that nobody will listen to you, I am here to encourage you that what you have to say is worthy. This world needs your voice. This world needs your story to be told, because there's someone out there who needs to hear it. And I am here if you want to talk, or if you want some encouragement. I am open to being a sounding board if that's what you need, but I want to encourage you to take that first step. I am here as a testament that your life is worth and that your voice is needed in this world today.
Wow, powerful. Thank you so much, Dr. Rita Mercer. Folks, our show is going to go off momentarily. To our listening audience, I do want to let you know, Dr. Rita, that it won't cut off on us. So, folks, if it cuts off, I want to say have a pleasant evening. But I do want to get Penelope back on to give a fond farewell to you. Penelope, you're back on with Rita.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Mercer. Everybody should have a Dr. Mercer in their life. And I really hope you remain active with NASCA and that we see you in the family often. And I wish you the very best. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much, and I do intend to be a part of the NASCA family.
For better or worse,
thank
for
you
your brother.
Thank you very much again, Penelope. You're a wonderful job doing tonight of co-hosting. I think your training wheels have come off. You're doing wonderful. Thank you.
I had a good trainer.
She was great.
And just so you know, Penelope, just it wasn't that long ago that she got into co-hosting, and she will eventually be hosting shows. So I've been helping her with her training wheels. So tonight they came off. We're going to go to Darlene now to give you a quick fond farewell. Darlene, you're back on with Rita.
Hello, and thank you for coming, Dr. Mercer.
Thank you, Darlene.
Feels weird saying that. I heard Dr. Mercer before somewhere, you know. I think I went to a Dr. Mercer before.
It was such a talking to you.
Kind of weird saying that, you know.
I know. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I wish
it's
you all the best.
Yeah, I didn't really get the thing down, but maybe it would be in the blog. Finder, welcome to the NASCA family, because you are in the NASCA family when you showed up today.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
And I think it was interesting, and thank you, Darlene, for being here this evening. As I close out tonight, Rita, I want to say, I find it, earlier you mentioned another doctor, and the name is escaping me right now. Please forgive me for that. I've got Lyme disease. I won't allow it to have me, so sometimes I have short-term memory lapses. But you had mentioned another doctor who's part of our NASCA family, and I know you do shows. Dr. Warner, is it?
Yes, Dr. Deborah Warner.
Oh, good. My memory wasn't so bad after all. I couldn't remember the first name, but I remember, I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss acknowledging Dr. Deborah Warner, as a member of the NASCA family, and it's interesting how that correlation with her kind of brought you're here as well as she was here, and reach out to us about coming on possibly as one of our professionals on like a Tuesday or Thursday night show. But I want to say thank you so much, Rita. I have privy and the ability to see your contact phone number because I'm in the studio as the host. And also my co-host, no one else can see it, but with your permission, I will jot it down and I will reach out to you. If that's okay with you, if you say no, I won't jot it down.
Absolutely. Sure. By all means.
Okay. Well, I always ask that permission. Thank you so much. I know we've gone a little over, and that's just the way it is. We do things in God's time, not our own. Folks, you have been listening to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And remember, the only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who is never a child. Please let that sink in. Remember, we all have responsibilities to protect the rights of the children. Good night, one and all.
Blog Talk Radio.